Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Colossal.
Special episode.
Yeah, this is a special, like, bonus episode.
Yes. I like the fact that, well, we've done, like, what, two, right?
Two what?
I guess two specials.
We've done none. Like, we've...
Oh, we've done none. Right. We've done none.
Yeah.
Yes, because...
There was one I was supposed to do that didn't happen.
That's not the one I was imagining.
There's two more that we
are planning. We just timed one out really well.
Oh, you're talking about King Kong.
Yeah.
Skull Island, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so this is an episode that we are recording kind of close to the release of the episode. If you haven't figured it out already.
Which is why it's on the opposite week post.
Yes. Yeah, this is on the off week.
But it's good. I think you know, it's a good sign when we get these, because it means, oh, there's some more monster movies coming out that are new.
Yeah, this one kind of snuck up on us. We had recorded some episodes already when this trailer dropped, and we didn't have it kind of in our slate of movies, and so we wanted to make sure we got this while people can still see it.
Yeah, and in indies, sometimes it's hard to nail down when they're going to come out in certain markets.
Yeah, and so. I'm already setting up the calendar for Pacific Rim 2.
Oh, you are? Oh,
yeah,
cool.
I'm starting to figure out when we're going to hit that. I think it's February 23rd. And as far as our recordings go, we're approaching it pretty soon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you this, but basically when I flew back to Hawaii this trip, on the plane, in the little tablet of movies, they had Shin Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of thinking that it'll be worth, once it comes out on a home version, to kind of revisit it in a scenario where we can sit and watch, take notes, and pause and back things up and stuff. For like, there's a lot of bits I was like, oh, you know, just kind of, you keep picking up more every time you do. But man, there is a lot of bureaucracy in that movie.
I was going through, you lent me the Art of Shin Godzilla book. It's a big giant one. It's got to be like 10 pounds. But there are a ton of pages of set design for different conference rooms and set photos and all kinds of behind the scenes of all the different conference rooms. I was like, oh yeah, I remember this one and this one. I remember the one with the flower chairs.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just there's a ton of conference room stuff in there. It's a cool book. It's a really cool book.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I would like fast forward to like each, you know, little action sequence that Godzilla has and each like transformation moment. Mm-hmm. Kind of just watch little bits. Yeah. I mean, the thing when the fire, it starts out like fire and then turns into the purple thing. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. Okay, anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about today.
Since this is close to the release, I have an update. I've been kind of doing some stuff with the site and the show. So I've made the show available. It's now available on more than just iTunes. It's on Android, Google Play, Overcast, Player FM, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. And I've even set up a YouTube page. I don't know why, but I know podcasts like to post their, a lot of people like to post their podcasts on YouTube, which is essentially just...
Oh, like just like an audio of...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so last week I was able to get all 10 of our episodes up, starting with our intro episode all the way up to the most recent, which was Godzilla GMK. So that's a place you can go, and that's youtube.com/kaijupod.
What's the K in... Why is it called GMK?
It's GMK. It's just...
Giant Monsters.
Nah, Godzilla, Mothra,
King. Oh, okay. King. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, anyway, you want to get into Colossal?
Obviously, we always talk about plot in these things, but just because this movie is new and still in theaters, if you haven't seen it and don't want to get spoiled, you've been warned. You can come back to this podcast later because we are going to spoil it. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, and then another thing we usually discuss is monster fights as opposed to the story. And this one has even, I would say, less monster stuff in it than Shin Godzilla.
Yeah. Like yeah, in fact, it's like when we saw it, I saw it once. You only saw it once? Okay, I saw it once before, and then we saw it together. And there was that moment after it. We're like, so do we talk about the people?
Well, what's cool about this movie is that we've been saying it, and I think it was even on our last episode, that when two monsters see each other, they automatically hate each other.
Yes.
And I like that this movie has a reason for the monsters to fight each other.
Yeah.
Like we as the viewers know why they're fighting, but the people who see the monsters just assume they're two monsters fighting. They don't know why.
Right.
So like right. With all of these Godzilla movies that we watch, is there some secret story that we're not seeing why they're always hitting each other?
Good point.
So I like that. That was my favorite aspect to it, was that first encounter of, well, I mean, let's get into it. There's more than...
Okay. So, yeah. All right. Yeah. So first of all, the very beginning, it's very like, we're going to call this movie Colossal. So let's pick the smallest font we can find to put the title up. The first thing we see is basically the first little monster segment before, you know, it's like you see the monsters for a second. Mm-hmm. The monsters are going to go away for a while, but we get to see the monsters show up in Korea the first time with the little girl looking for her doll.
And then it says 25 years later.
Right.
Which is something that you talk about a lot, where you don't like when it says the year first and then it says...
I just think it's not necessary.
Yeah.
No, but worse was the movie where it said something like 20 years ago or something. And it was like, okay, not necessary. Anne Hathaway gets broken up with, her parting friends show up. They're completely oblivious that she's going through a crisis.
Mm-hmm. And so she moves home back to her old hometown and lives in like her parents' old house or something like that.
Yeah, it's her parents' old house.
And she doesn't have a job. And she doesn't have money, and she's pretty much just sleeping on the floor.
Right.
And then she runs into, while she's buying a bed, she runs into an old friend of hers, played by Jason Sudeikis, and he offers her a job at a bar.
Yes. P.S. Jason Sudeikis parks like an asshole.
I didn't even notice.
It's like, if there's going to be a tip-off that he's going to, you know, turn and be a dick later, is the fact that when it's a completely empty parking lot and he's parked diagonally across two spaces in the middle of that parking lot.
I didn't even notice how he was parked. I noticed that the parking lot was empty, but that's really funny.
Do you know the names of the other guys?
Man, it's been, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up the IMDb page. So, right. Jason Sudeikis' character, Jason plays Oscar and Hathaway plays Gloria. So the two friends of Jason Sudeikis in that small town are Joel, the cute one, and Garth. And they are played by Austin Stowell and Tim Blake Nelson, respectively.
I really like the cast.
Yeah, me too.
It's a lot of fun. They have a good chemistry. And it makes me sad when things go south. But I guess before that happens, Anne Hathaway spends the night.
By the way, I also like that we didn't know she was carrying a bed. We just knew she had this big bag thing she was carrying over her shoulder for a while. Like, did you know it was a bed?
I kind of figured it. I thought it was one of those like
air mattress. Did you know it?
I didn't know it was an air mattress. I thought it was one of those like other mattresses, like those regular ones, but they're like the kind you put on like a fold out couch. I assumed it was a bed.
Almost like an egg crate kind of one of those foams.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know it was a bed.
Yeah.
This is another thing. When the air mattress thing, when she wakes up and it had flattened overnight, and she wakes up and she she's like, ow, and she's like holding her breast. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that hurts. Like, it hurts girls' boobs to lay up these face down.
I guess on a hard floor, maybe.
All right. She's also was pregnant during the making of this movie, by the way. So then I wasn't sure if that's just something from that. But I was like, what? I don't understand how that got hurt.
I don't know either.
You just glassed over that. You didn't. Okay. All right, fine. Assumed,
well, it seemed like every time she woke up, it was in another crappy position.
Something else hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was her back, her neck hurt.
Right.
But she spends the night with the guys at the bar drinking.
Right.
And then ends up walking home in the morning.
Yes.
And she gets...
She sleeps all day.
She gets on the phone with her boyfriend and has kind of an argument and throws her phone across the park.
Oh, right.
And then later, after waking up, she sees the news.
Yes.
And there's been an attack on Seoul, Korea by a giant monster.
Right. The same giant monster we saw at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It's an interesting looking monster. His posture is kind of interesting. The way he's got like a little pooch, but he's got this. He's long and skinny. He's got really long like arms and things, uh-huh. And his head is kind of has like a V like crestish kind of thing at the top.
And it's got he's got like a kind of a flat face.
Face is a little flat. He's got his face. Yeah, yeah.
He almost looks like one of the Ents from Lord of the Rings, like one of the walking tree guys.
Oh, yeah, kind of does.
As far as the body movements and then the face. Yeah, the face looks smashed. It looks like that dude from Ultraman that we don't know.
A little bit like Pigman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The face does, yeah.
But she starts realizing that the movements of the monster replicate her actions in the park.
Yeah, earlier. He does her little tick, her little head scratch tick. Yeah. And she's like, oh, that's weird. And then she starts looking at the videos of, Jason Sudeikis' character, he explains that, oh yeah, this happened like 25 years ago, and he shows like a YouTube video of when the monster had first shown up, mm-hmm. And then so then she notices that in watching the news footage, and then she starts going through all like the footage on the internet of the monster, and she recognizes her own hand positions,
mm-hmm. So she starts like experimenting and doing specific like hand motions to see if they show up on the
YouTube. Yeah, how does she figure out that it's in that playground?
I think it's when it happens. She throws the phone.
Oh, because that's where she threw it.
Yeah, she retraces her step and goes back to the park.
She ends up at the playground, and then she does the hand gestures. She lifts one hand, stuff like that, and then she goes back to go look, and that's exactly what the thing did.
Yeah.
So then she gets drunk again, mm-hmm. And this time this is almost like in response to the one guy's magic trick that he does by lighting a tea bag on fire, and then she's like, "Oh, I'll show you something really cool," and then she brings them all out to the playground, mm-hmm. And
they're watching live streams.
Each on their own thing. Like no one's going to just kind of look over his shoulder and look at someone else's iPad. Each one has their own thing out to take a look at it. Uh-huh. And she does like the dance that they were making fun of Oscar with earlier, which was the fingers pointing at his crotch dance.
Well, she wants to make sure that she's not hurting anybody,
right?
And so she kind of maps out the park and
the city,
where it belongs in Seoul,
yeah,
so that she doesn't hit anything. I'm trying to figure out, because I know the next thing I want to talk about, but I'm trying to remember
is that how she's it goes not down. Alone,
yeah,
yeah. Is it no, what happens is then Seoul kind of tries to attack the monster, and she can feel it because the helicopters would shoot at her. And she feels it, so she starts kind of like making a joke, and like she like throws a punch and decimates a helicopter.
And the helicopter shoots, and she's like, it gets hit in the stomach, and I think hit in the head.
Yeah.
And she falls down.
And when she hits it, I think she even hits her hand a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she falls over.
And then Jason Sudeikis comes and lifts her up and takes her out of the park.
Yeah, and then she's devastated because she's like, you know, she like wants to know how many people she killed in her little tomfoolery.
Yeah. And Jason Sudeikis comes in the morning and brings a newspaper.
Is this when he brings the groceries, by the way, or does he bring groceries at another time?
It might be.
My main point, though, is that the way the grocery bag was staged is they put, like, there's like a half gallon of orange juice sticking out the top, which A, it's clearly an empty bottle, and B, no one who bags groceries puts a heavy thing of liquid at the top.
Uh-huh.
That's where the baguettes go.
Yeah. I went and saw Fast and Furious 8.
Yeah.
And Vin Diesel's in Cuba, and he came out of a grocery store, and he had a baguette in his grocery bag.
He did? Cuba. Well, is it a baguette? Because the Cubans have their own
Cuban bread,
which is like it's like a fatter baguette. But it's,
either way, it's just, it was
romantic,
I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, do we get into the mythology, or do we just kind of go play by play and then go into analysis after? You know,
I don't know. I mean, because the part that's coming up next is probably my favorite part.
So, okay, so Jason shows up, so when they go to the diner, is this what we're talking about? They go get food?
No, when he hands her the newspaper. He shows her
and then they go to the diner right after he does that, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and he shows the newspaper, and we see that there is a big robot, too.
Yes, and it's Jason Sudeikis is a robot.
Points at it and says, that's me, or I think that's me. And when I saw that the first time, I gave an audible, what? In the theater, that ended up being so loud that other people in the theater laughed at me for it. But they were all kind of experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
I liked the robot design a lot. I liked how his eye was just like, it's like a single eye, like red dot laser head. I kind of like that.
Kind of like how?
He has a lot of different colored lights, which you see later. When Jason is messing around, it almost looks like he's got like strings of Christmas lights on him. She finds basically in the news. I mean, was there something else you want to talk about? Just this first reveal?
No.
You find out that that's what he is, because later, again, they get. Oh, so Anne Hathaway hooks up with the cute one.
Yeah. And this is where things really go south. Like, it seemed right. Like earlier it's set up where the cute one is going to try to kiss her. And Jason Sudeikis jumps in and he's like,
hey, yeah. Hey, get the hell out of here. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So this is where we
learn. Joel is the cute one.
Yeah. This is where we learn that Jason Sudeikis has some.
A little something.
Control issues.
Yeah, he's got a little something going on. He's got a little pathology underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets worse, too. We're still just like, you know, he still seems like, he still seems pretty cool and, you know, low maintenance. But then it takes a turn for sure.
Yeah.
She sleeps with him. The next day, she sees on the news that the robot's back and the robot's messing with people.
And this happened, this is after the monster, Anne Hathaway's monster, has written in Korean in the sand.
Oh, right.
To tell the people that she's not there to hurt him. I'm sorry. I'm on your side. It won't happen again.
Right. Jason goes, they get like Korean takeout and he has them do the translation.
Yeah. So she's in the good graces of the people of Seoul, based on that writing. But then you have the robot coming in after and kind of being a dick by taunting, by like not stepping on buildings yet, but...
No, but just like threatening to.
Yeah. So,
hey, by the way, have you seen the? Okay, so you know, there's that poster that's like an artsy, kind of looks like it went through the Prisma app of Anne Hathaway and the monster behind her.
Yeah.
Have you seen the bigger one that has? It's both her and Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah,
behind Jason is the robot, and he's holding up a bottle, and the robot's holding up a car.
Yeah, they posted that one up the day after I saw the movie, and I was glad I didn't see it before.
Oh yeah, right.
Because Jason Sudeikis was on Late Night with Seth Meyers, and he was talking about the movie, and he didn't mention the robot once.
I'm not looking at. Yeah. Oh shoot! Did you see the? Did you see the? I guess it was a preview poster or something. That is a hand doing the middle finger, and it's got one of those like monster finger puppets in it.
Yeah.
okay. Anyways.
So Jason Sudeikis.
So she runs over to go stop Jason Sudeikis from messing around.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where he realizes that she arrived with Joel. And there's even like a musical sting that they do when he notices it. He's like, you know. Mm-hmm. And she tries to get him to come out of the playground, and he doesn't want to. And so she has to go in after him. And she slaps him. And there's this thing where, like, you hear cheering going on whenever she does something to fight. It's like what Obi-Wan Kenobi hears when they blow up the planet. Like, you can hear, almost like you can hear it in the distance. Yeah. Oh. I hear screams. I can hear this ever. So, like, she slaps him. There's cheering because it's clearly established for at least the soul community that she's the good one, and now the robot is the bad one. Mm-hmm. And then they end up having like a little tussle, and he ends up shoving her to the ground, basically. Mm-hmm. And she's horrified because she knows she's just crushed a ton of people.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. I thought the reality of, you know,
the consequences.
Knowing, yeah, that was great. I thought she seemed really devastated about it.
Yeah. And then Jason Sudeikis, he never moved away from this small town. He's always been there. And he kind of has this complex where he feels like she left and she went on to bigger things, that she was too good for the town. And he kind of has this problem where he feels like he's not noticed.
No, but it's more than that. It's from before even. It's from when they were children and she would win the creative writing awards every time. Mm-hmm. And he would not, because that's what the whole, like, because this whole thing culminates in this big flashback. Mm-hmm. Which we'll just do it in the sense where they're taking their school projects. They're cutting through past a construction site. The construction site is where that playground is now. Mm-hmm. And what her little diorama, I don't know, it's not a diorama, but it's like a little, it's like a diorama of essentially Seoul, Korea, the parts of Seoul, Korea that you would recognize as Seoul, Korea, basically, gets caught by the wind because it starts storming and flies into the construction area. Mm-hmm. And this is done without dialogue. It's just done like with music and just seeing the action. And so young Oscar goes, he's like, don't worry, I'll go. He climbs over to go, and he's going to go get her her diorama that flew away. And she climbs and finds a vantage point, and she can see that he does get it. He's able to pull it off a tree or something, wherever it flew up on. It brings it down, and he takes a moment, and then he throws it on the ground and just stomps on it and crushes it.
Yeah.
Now, this is hard to fully understand at this point, but at the same moment, she is so enraged that it's kind of like slow-motion lightning trickles down from the sky, possibly to her head, enough that it makes her head bleed and starts bleeding down her forehead.
Yeah, right down the middle.
And this is the moment that she became the Korean monster.
Yeah.
Because this is the moment 25 years ago that that monster showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think the robot showed up back then? No, I don't think there's any information about the robot being there.
No.
Because that would spoil the fact that there's a robot anyways if we found that out later.
Yeah, and then it feels like they had to be within the specific square.
And a specific time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's some kind of weird thing that the universe lined up in a way that at this moment, with the right storm conditions and the right personal rage,
mm-hmm.
that she turned into a monster in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because Korea... Is the premise, I think, that it's on the opposite side of the world? Like the if you
dug a hole went
straight down. Yeah.
I think so. I think that's what she did.
Because that's how she figures out to go to Korea when she does go, because her map flips upside down and the swings upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happened.
Do you want to talk about that last fight?
That's a lot. I'm just digesting all of that. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. And so that's how they got these powers, if we call them powers.
Yeah, do you feel like we needed to know that? Because I was I already accepted it, but I feel like...
That they're just monsters again. I don't think we needed to know that somehow it's attributed to the lightning thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. No, that's not going to divide at the end. Sudeikis, by the way, is a hoarder and has a lot of shame.
Yeah.
For a second,
you feel bad for him, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. You do go kind of back and forth. Like, he seems cool and fun at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He's also, because even when he does, the crazy stuff, like when he lights that big, giant firecracker barrel in his bar.
Yeah.
There's something about it that he's sticking up for her that you like.
Yeah. But he seems more possessive.
He's pathological. He's definitely, yeah. It's Jason starts basically using the fact that he is the robot to dominate her and be like, no, you're gonna stick around and you're gonna come to work and you're gonna do what I want, or else I'll come here and start stomping on Korean people. Basically, it's just it's basically he's like he's just.
A dickhead.
Yeah, just being controlling.
He's a pretty good villain. I didn't expect him to be a villain, and he's pretty scary. He's threatening, and it really makes you root for Anne Hathaway.
Yeah,
he's just awful. Because by the end of the movie, you don't have any sympathy for him.
So right.
I mean, I guess you feel bad that he's like that, but at the same time,
yeah. The sympathy wears thin. Just how mean he gets. Oh yeah, but Jason's also abusive to the other guys too.
Yeah,
he yells at his friend. Like his friend, I guess, may be doing coke
mm-hmm.
in the bathroom. And he even has the line, says, "You don't even wipe well." It's because the guy's pretending that he's dropping a deuce and he's really going there to do coke. He says, you're not even good wiping, and he wipes his nose. He checks his nose. It's like, that's true. There's a really big knockout drag out fight in that house.
Yeah.
When she's gonna go, she decides she's gonna leave and go back with her ex who had broken up with her at the beginning of the movie. And there's a big fight in the in that room. Oh, by the in the house. Oh, by the way, so. Okay, the moment when the monsters show up, if they go at the park at the right time, is only temporary. Like, and the monster kind of appears out of thin air. Like it kind of like
a puff of smoke.
It comes down. It's like it appears like it slowly shows up, like the head, and then it works its way down to like the feet. Like mm-hmm. that's what it seemed like it did. And so it's like it's just like this small window of time that. The city's in danger,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It's early in the morning in America for these people. It's sometime at night, I guess, it looks like the middle of the night.
I'm assuming 9 at night.
Or early, yeah, maybe about, yeah. And but then it stops. I guess, do they just disappear then? at some point?
I think so.
Because like there was like a moment during their fight that the Joel character had said like, "Stop! It's over." Mm-hmm. And does that just meant that the monsters just suddenly disappeared?
I think so.
I was trying to figure out if you're just referring to like, that's it, you're done fighting, it's over, or if it's that, no, the monsters are gone now, so it doesn't matter. There's no reason to keep fighting.
Yeah. The fight in the living room.
Yes.
I like that it was staged like a kaiju fight.
Yes.
Like I felt like one of them got shoved into like the bookshelves and the bookshelves fell over. Like I could almost...
No, yeah, he got shoved into the TV and then like she pulled the bookshelves over them. Yeah. It's a good fight.
Yeah, but it definitely was staged like a kaiju fight. There's I want to say in Hot Fuzz, they have a model town, which is a little version of their village.
Yeah.
And there's a point where they're running through and like somebody kicks out a window, a little tiny window, but it makes a huge glass shattering sound.
Oh, cool.
That's the sound effects they drop in like big sound effects. And this scene kind of reminded me of that, like just the way it was shot and their kind of fighting movements were mm-hmm. more like monster grappling instead of punching and hitting.
Yeah. Right.
I like that. And it kind of eased the tension a little bit because it's, you know.
Of the fight?
Yeah, it's a guy beating up a woman, which is no good.
Yeah. And in the back of your head, I'm going, Anne Hathaway's pregnant. She's like 4 months pregnant.
Yeah.
She goes to Korea. Are we there yet? Are we already there?
Yeah.
So she kind of figures out a solution, essentially, that we don't really know about, but she kind of, just when she looks at the map, and she ends up going to Seoul mm-hmm. and flying to Korea and waiting for the moment mm-hmm. to happen. And as what ends up happening is Oscar shows up to the park.
Because she left town, and he promised if she left town,
every day he'd come and just wreak havoc.
Yeah.
And then the monster shows up because she's in Korea. So
the monster shows wherever, up at the park.
You know, and yeah. And she's there in front of the robot. And he tries to run away and she, with a really lucky grab, grabs him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
I mean, yeah. I think she did it right, though. I think
she clearly did it right because she got him.
She
what
could
do you mean?
See, yeah. Where I mean, she could see where the robot's running away from.
Yeah, I was like, I was wondering if she should have grabbed the robot.
But if she,
because like, the robot would have been where he was. I mean, it's hard to like that's part. You got to fudge a little bit on this system.
But if she knows that the robot's straight ahead. And she sticks her arm out far enough and scoops backwards.
Yeah.
Chances are she'll hit it.
Right.
Which she does.
Yeah.
But yeah, how many steps does Jason Sudeikis take?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But she picks him up. She and the monster picks him up, holds him up to her face. Is it a her monster?
Yeah,
I guess. It's her. And just screams, like growls at him really loud. And I'm going, oh, was she like screaming at her hand? You don't know, right? You don't get to see, like, it's not like a split screen. Why not?
I don't know. And how close does the robot get to her actual face?
The robot just floats at that point. The robot's floating in the air at that point. Uh-huh. But the monster screams at Jason Sudeikis. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, does she yell at him? I was wondering. That was just one of the things that crossed my mind. And then she throws them. Throws them both. Or they both go far. The robot goes flying, and Jason goes flying. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I did not expect.
And there's this thing that says, like, there's a part where, like, Soul rejoices that the robot is dead. And I just think that's funny, the idea of a robot being dead. Also, there's like the weird science aspect of the movie where when they got the gift mm-hmm. of being monsters, they each played with those monsters.
Yeah.
Like, that monster, there's a toy of that monster in her backpack.
And the toy of that robot.
In his?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird science. Yeah, I mean, I like the handling of the reality of the stuff. And Okay, so that's basically it, story-wise. And we hung out just in case there'd be something at the end of the credits.
Yeah, yeah. Which there
damn
wasn't.
Damn you, superhero movies, making us do that now.
I could have seen a post-credit sequence where, like, Tim Blake Nelson, because he kind of disappears after being accused about doing coke. It would have been pretty cool if maybe he set foot in the park. Like, it was just a shot of him taking a step in the park.
And, like, just, like, something like a tentacle or something. like, you don't even get to see what kind of monster he is.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
But no post-credit sequence.
No. Or the Joel character steps out in the park. And it's some, like, really cute kind of... Oh, it's also, I also like the... Joel's watching on the TV what's going on in Seoul, Korea. No one's paying attention to what's going on in their own hometown, by the way.
Yeah.
No one's noticing that there's a monster around. So, is being a monster being alcoholic or being abusive?
I don't know.
See, okay, so it comes down to that the monster is us, right? That's that's what we're supposed to walk away with this about being, right? I mean, that's our takeaway.
I think so.
The monster is us. I don't know.
It's different. It's a different movie.
It's hard to judge this. This is a hard one for this podcast for me.
Yeah, for this podcast, it's like kind of a weird.
This is a feelings movie.
Yeah, it's not really a kaiju movie. It's like a drama that happens to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a thing where it said that the guy who made it, Nacho Vigalondo, he was like that he liked monster movies. He liked kaiju. But his thing was like the ends were always basically like a fist fight between the monsters, essentially, and didn't deal with the people. And I was like, oh, I get that as something being interested in like the people's reaction and the people's having to deal with it. This isn't that though, because people's is the monsters in this one. And this, it's not.
Yeah, like, this gives the monsters motivation. Like you understand the motives behind why the monsters are fighting.
Right,
which is different.
And it turns out it's people's problems. I mean, it would be cool. Like, I mean, it's like we were talking about Shin. You know, it's like that's a good sample of people having to deal with a monster problem. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many meetings. I mean, like, I don't know what we do. We have to evacuate. There's still stragglers. All that kind of business.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's people dealing with a monster problem. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a, quote, a monster problem of their drinking. I don't know. The monster designs were really cool, though. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have seen more. I mean, I would have loved to have seen the buildings fight. Too, like I would have seen more of the destruction on the Seoul side. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that's the part that was just kind of fun to watch the most is that part. But that's just me.
Yeah, and then they set up the fact that there's real consequence in these buildings collapsing. That I'm sure they want to overdo it. It's like that.
Yeah, Man of Steel. That's cool. Yeah, in the sense that also, it's like you're not when Mechagodzilla walks through a building and makes a whole archway. We don't know. Yeah, it's like
is it filled with people?
Are there people there?
And Mechagodzilla was the good guy in that movie.
In Shin Godzilla, they were pretty thorough with the evacuations.
Yeah. I like the movie as a movie.
Yeah, me too.
I think as a kaiju movie, it's not what we normally are looking for.
It was great. I mean, it's an original premise. That was cool. And I was excited about it. It surprised me. There's there's a lot that I know I couldn't see coming at all.
Yeah. And I think you really get invested in the characters.
That was great. Yeah. Yeah, and the cast was great. I thought everyone did really great in it.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this to you before, but I think it felt more along the lines of like being John Malkovich.
In tone?
Yeah, just like a weird concept.
Yeah, it's definitely that. Yeah, that kind of, yeah. An original kind of, you know, it just created its own kind of alt universe, but it's very similar to us. Like, it's just like in this world, these two people are monsters at this, you know, at this time of day in this park.
Yeah, so I recommend people check it out if they're looking for something different. Not, you know, but I think it was really well done. I liked the way it was shot.
Yeah.
It looked nice. The character designs were cool. I really liked Jason Sudeikis and Anne Hathaway. They're pretty great for their roles. As the bad guy and the good guy. But, yeah. Got anything else for Colossal?
I'm trying to think of who in the... Like there's... I feel like the monster looks kind of like one of the Cantina guys.
Feltapern? I think so.
Are you saying that...
No, I'm saying that for reals. I know what you're talking about. And I don't know how to spell Feltapern.
Oh, I was thinking Hemdazon. Dazon? Hemdazon? Feltapern. Let me look at this guy.
Feltipern.
All right, hang on. Feltipern. Feltapern. Oh, Feltapern has a last name. Oh. No.
No?
No. I was like, the guy who I was thinking of was, what did I say? What was the name I said?
I don't know. Who'd you say? I'm going to look it up.
I was thinking Hemdazon. Hemdazon.
Hemdazon. Okay.
Because he's got like the head ridge thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, looking at his mouth isn't quite right, but yeah, that's who I thought he would look like. We should see what happens. We should find one of those things where you can merge two faces together and see what happens when Feltapern and Hemdazon have baby.
Looks like Anne Hathaway. It's like the monster didn't have a name, right? They didn't give it a name?
Oh, I don't think so. They just said the monster and the robot.
We should do an episode about Star Wars monsters.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we do have the license that we didn't actually call this. We call it the Kaiju Podcast, not the Daikaiju Podcast, so we can totally do Little Monsters if we want to.
Yeah. I mean, Daimajin was, like, 15 feet tall.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think we have, like, a minimum requirement.
Oh, by the way, look forward to Daimajin. Forgot. No one's heard that episode yet.
Oh, yeah, we gotta watch that.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So I think if you like movies that are good, check it out. And yeah. That's all I have for Colossal.
If you like movies that are good, check it out. Yeah. If you like movies that are bad, stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, there's some movies that are bad. Did I mention I went and saw Fast 8? Only
to a point. You saw what?
I mentioned I went and saw Fast and Furious 8.
Oh, right.
It was awesome. I loved Yeah, I loved it.
That's with the baguette?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all I have.
I didn't know that guy had a toy. Hemdazon.
Dude, everybody has a toy.
But it looks like, you know, it's also tricky sometimes nowadays when people do like retro kind of, there's sometimes you go like, was this really a toy? Or did someone kind of, you know, did like a backwards engineer this toy as so make it look like it was one of the old Kenner ones? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man. Mother's Day's coming up. Is Mother's Day coming up?
the Yes.
Mother's Day just passed. What?
Mother's Day was yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Yes. Kudos to moms and kudos to my mom for going through all the stuff and knowing to cut out those Kenner proofs of purchases and mail them in for whatever the whatever those chase figures were that you had to like mail in.
The Emperor. I got the Emperor that way.
I got my mom. I got two Emperors. My mom did it twice.
I don't know how
there was one the other Emperor. One that came in the mail too. I'm trying to remember what the other one was.
Was it a Boba Fett?
Oh, I don't know.
I remember I really didn't have a lot of Star Wars toys growing up, and I don't know how I ended up getting that Emperor, because I remember I had a Luke Skywalker, a pilot Luke Skywalker.
I used the pilot Luke Skywalker way more than I used the one that with the sword coming through his hand.
Yeah, but I had a Snowspeeder, and so he would sit in the front of the Snowspeeder, and yes. I didn't have anybody to put in the back. And so then I got the Emperor, but because his legs were like a dress, he wouldn't fit back. He wouldn't fit back there.
Right. Yeah, it's like just a dress with a slit in it.
Yeah. So, yeah, happy Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Belated. Yeah, that was just
belated happy Mother's Day.
And then, yeah, actually next week we'll have our episode, which I believe is Godzilla's Revenge, which is not one of your favorites.
You don't know yet.
It's one of my favorites. I think I mentioned it on the most recent episode.
Oh, wait. Godzilla's Revenge.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. With the little
that's
kid on.
The goofy one. Right, right.
Yeah.
That's the lizard with hair.
Gabra.
Yeah, yeah.
At least I think
that's yeah. It. Yeah, that's a different tone. Yeah.
Anyway, you can go to Kaiju Pod. And that has the links on where you can listen to us, our big kaiju list, and our links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We should put a side-by-side of those two Star Wars denizens and let the crowd vote. Is he more of a Feltapern or a Hemdazon?
I'll do that. All right. Until next time, I'm going to go grab a beer.
I'm going to sleep on my stomach. Ow, my boobs.